From KTOO, I'm Katie Anastas with a look at local and statewide news. The Juneau School Board has selected Frank Hauser as the next superintendent of the Juneau School District. Hauser has been superintendent of the Sitka School District since 2019. He was previously a music teacher and principal in Anchorage, where he was named Alaska's 2019 Principal of the Year. Board member Brian Holt says Hauser's leadership experience made him a good fit for the job.
It's important to us in our community that our diversity be embraced. And we reminded ourselves that Anchorage School District is one of the most diverse in the nation. So having experience in that district, we think was very valuable.
At a public forum on Monday, Hauser highlighted his familiarity with how the state funds education. He said he's spoken to legislators on both sides of the aisle about the public school system.
These are the relationships that I already have in place. And I think those are some of the supports that and skills I would bring into the Juneau School District.
Hauser was the only finalist for the job based in Alaska. His 3-year contract will begin July 1st. He replaces Bridget Weiss, who announced her resignation in October after 5 years on the job. Governor Mike Dunleavy signed a bill today that will put millions into a fast-track solution to fix the state's months-long food stamp backlog. But as KTOO's Claire Strempel reports, advocates and insiders say the state's fixes aren't enough.
State eligibility workers, the people who process benefits like food stamps, say the backlog that's left thousands of Alaskans without enough to eat could have been avoided. To set things right, they say the state needs to figure out how to hire and retain fully trained staff. State leadership has blamed the backup on its aging computer system, a deluge of recertifications after pandemic benefits ended, and a cyber attack.
You know, that's just not true.
Fred Rapp has been an eligibility worker for 15 years. He works for the Fairbanks office.
With COVID and the computer hack that occurred, the only thing that really did was just finally expose what was actually happening at the division. It made it so that it was not able to really be hidden anymore from the public.
He said he's been asking elected officials to address the high rates of attrition in the state's Division of Public Assistance ever since Governor Sean Parnell was in office. That's more than a decade ago. He said people started quitting in 2010 due to a combination of staff cuts and drastic changes to process. And he says the current benefits offered to state employees don't incentivize them to stay. So the state has lost a lot of smart people.
You got to keep in the seats. If you don't do that, then everything else that you're trying to do is not going to work.
He says he hears about the effects of his department's dysfunction every day, from elders with empty freezers to new moms who can't get care because the division took too long to process something as simple as an address change. Between Dunleavy's fast-track bill and money in the capital budget, the state plans to spend $60 million to fix the backlog. Most of that, 90% of it, is for computer systems. And Rapp is worried that that's going to a program called ARES.
Because everybody that uses ARES knows that it's a junker.
The name stands for Alaska's Resource for Integrated Eligibility Services. The state rolled it out in 2014, and it was supposed to be for all public assistance. But they only put Medicaid on it.
When they built this thing, the best way I can describe it to you is that they were going for building something like a Ferrari, but when they actually opened the hood and put the engine in it, it ended up being something like a lawnmower engine.
The state says problems with ARES are easy to fix and don't affect the backlog. Plus, it's going to change. Rapp says frequent hiccups with ARES lead to delays in people getting approved for Medicaid. Each time the program fails, he has to set that case aside, file a trouble ticket, and wait for someone in IT to get things back on track. In 9 years, Rapp says he's seen documentation of at least 70,000 such trouble tickets.
I mean, absolutely. He's not wrong at all.
Megan James manages SNAP Outreach for Food Banks of Alaska, and she agrees that the state needs to invest in retaining fully trained employees. She says she's found that new, hastily trained staff make a lot of mistakes.
Employees that are staffing their call center, they're not even trained with the appropriate information. So we get calls from clients saying, well, DPA told me this. And so we're consistently having to, you know, correct the misinformation that comes out from the frontline workers that are just being thrown into the fire.
Only $3 million of the state's solution is for staffing. James says she'd like to see the state fund some solutions they haven't tried yet, like a federal tool that lets families who qualify for certain other benefits automatically qualify for food stamps. It saves eligibility workers time, which translates to state savings, and it's also proven to help low-income working families. And Alaska is one of only a handful of states that doesn't use it. Alaska is also one of only two states that doesn't have an online application for SNAP. James says trying to help people navigate this takes a toll on workers, too.
My entire team is basically dealing with secondary trauma all day long because everybody that we deal with is hungry.
Jesus Mendoza Jr. runs the regional United States Department of Agriculture office. He oversees the region's food stamp programs. And he said that Alaska's backlog is the worst in the West.
It is serious, and it is very serious because we have a substantial number. There is a substantial number of Alaska citizens that are not getting benefits.
He sent a letter back in February to Alaska's Department of Health Commissioner, Heidi Hedberg, asking her to come up with a plan to fix the backlog. Alaska is not the only state with a backlog, but it is the only state to receive a letter like this. He acknowledges that the computer fixes the state is proposing will take time.
Replacing an eligibility system is not going to be easy, and it's going to take probably more than a year.
He was quick to point out the state's progress, like new contract hires and the nearly $2 million that Governor Dunleavy put towards food banks. While Alaskans wait on new hires and the computer fixes, they've been needing food banks more than ever. And those have been getting cleaned out.
Very much a Band-Aid.
Ron Meehan manages policy and advocacy for the Food Banks of Alaska, and he's talking about the money intended to hold people over during the backlog.
Right, it's a very temporary solution, and it's not meant to fill the full gap, but it puts us in a much better position than we were in before we had it.
He says SNAP provides at least 10 times the amount of food as the food bank network does in Alaska. So he says everybody knows it isn't going to make up for the state's meltdown. And he says the food banks haven't felt relief yet. Many are even seeing an increased demand, especially among working families.
The people we support are frustrated, they're confused, and they're hungry. And over the last several weeks, we've heard from people that have been watering down soup to feed their kids, eating dog food, or simply going days without eating. And it really is heartbreaking.
The state says it's almost worked through the backlog and plans to have it cleared in a couple months. Right about when it will be digging into more than 250,000 Medicaid renewals for Alaskans who were guaranteed coverage during the pandemic public health emergency that's coming to an end. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Claire Strimple.
Juneau Drag has been scheduled to perform on the main stage in the early evening at the Southeast Alaska State Fair in Haines. As KHNS's Alan DePremenil reports, some residents don't think it's appropriate.
Spencer Douthit is chair of the fair board. He started receiving emails after posting the lineup on the fair's website. As of Wednesday, he had received 95 emails. He hadn't expected such a reaction.
Juneau Drag has done many public performances over the course of many years, and what they're going to present at the fair would be the same performance that you would see in Skagway or Juneau at a public venue.
Representatives of the Ministerial Association voiced their opposition to the show. Resident Courtney Kelly said she objected to the sexual nature of the show.
We're talking about something that is sexual, whether we want to say it is or not. It doesn't matter if someone else doesn't think it's sexual or if someone else says, well, that's just how they express themselves.
Resident Eileen Zeiger spoke in support of the show.
One of the reasons I go to the fair is to see other parts of Southeast Alaska, parts that I can't necessarily go to see myself. And for that reason, I support bringing the drag show to town.
Assembly member Gabe Thomas spoke about finding a middle ground.
I don't see why we can't just ask the fair to be humble and say, hey, let's just move it to where it's a time frame where kids aren't really there.
Many people opposed to bringing Juneau Drag to Haines said the show would not be family friendly. Gigi Monroe describes herself as the drag mother of the troupe. She says each performance is adapted to its audience.
I would say drag is an art form like any other art form, and it can be family friendly or it can be adult only, just like music, just like paintings, just like dance performances. There's a range. We look at who's going to be there and we tailor the performance to that audience.
The fair board is looking into rescheduling the drag show for later in the evening. There are plans to host a meeting to give community members a chance to voice their concerns. a member of the Ministerial Association, says they have reached out to the Fair Board to discuss the matter. Until then, they have chosen not to comment further. For KHNS, I'm Alan de Prevenil.